When he celebrated a major victory for his party over Medicare, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist compared this year's battles in Congress to a football season. And just in case anybody missed the analogy, Frist held up a football for the Capitol Hill Press Corps.
It wasn't that long ago, but in January of this year, we gained possession. And we gained possession with an objective to play hard on each and every play, but to play fair. But the objective is to score points for every American.
It's possible to hear in the last of those words an explanation for the strong-arm tactics that Republicans use to get the Medicare bill passed. And it's tempting to remember that old football saying, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Professor Ross Baker has been watching Congress for years from his post at Rutgers University and joins us now. Professor Baker, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Have Republicans crossed any sort of line in the way that they got the Medicare bill passed?
Well, you know, under the veneer of civility and decorousness in the Senate, there's always the unsheathed knife. And I think that the Republicans just wielded it a little bit more conspicuously this time. They clearly wanted two pieces of legislation which they considered essential going into the 2004 election. One was the energy bill, which they failed to pass. And the other, perhaps even more important, was the prescription drug addition to Medicare that they succeeded on, thereby created, I think, a presumption that they did quite well in the first session of 108th Congress and feel more confident going into the 2004 election that they have something to present to the voters.
Explain to me, if you would, the mechanics of these conference committees, these negotiating committees between the House and the Senate that were used to work out the Medicare bill and also to work out a version of the energy bill. What did Republican leaders do exactly?
From the very beginning, Democrats were simply excluded, or Democrats that the Republicans thought would cause trouble. In the Senate, which is generally in which the Republicans have been somewhat more accommodating to the Democrats, they included two Democrats who they thought would be cooperative on the energy bill, Max Baucus and John Breaux, but kept out other Democrats. They wanted to create an illusion of bipartisanship, which is always kind of a nice ornament to display when you pass a bill saying that this bill was bipartisan. But in reality, this was largely a Republican show from beginning to end.
So we have 535 members of the Congress, the House and the Senate, and there's just a handful of them, really, that were involved in negotiating the particulars of these two major bills.
That's right.
And is that any different than what it would have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Under the Democrats? Well, I think if you look back, I think you would find, particularly in the House of Representatives, that the Republicans were very restricted in the amount of influence that they had, both on the committee and on the floor. In the House of Representatives in particular, the majority party is just so dominant in setting the rules, so dominant in the ability to control the schedule, and so controlling in terms of the people who are appointed to conference committees who were sent over to negotiate with the Senate when there are differences on bills. In the Senate, it's been a little bit more bipartisan.
You know, it's interesting, Professor Baker. We were talking to our one of our political editors, Ron Elving, and he was pointing out that in his experience, he thought it was a lot harder for the parties to work together now than it was in the past.
Well, Benjamin Franklin once said that Congress should be a portrait in miniature of the American people, and in some ways it is, in that the American people are very, very clearly divided. The 2000 election demonstrated that, and I think if you look at public opinion polls, the job rating of President Bush and so on, that this country cleaves very, very dramatically along Democratic and Republican lines. So in a sense, it's not surprising that Congress should also be divided and that the division should have a very hard edge to it, which indeed it does. We, in some ways, would like members of Congress to transcend the divisions in the American public and be able to work across party lines. I think Americans think that Congress should be able to do that. But in some ways, the interest groups who support the Democrats and the interest groups who support the Republicans are in Washington, and they are firing up the combatants on both sides. And it's very hard to back off from that. Once the cycle of political strife has begun, it's very hard to ratchet it down. And I think we're at one of those high points now. We certainly have seen it historically at other times, certainly in the years before the Civil War, during the McCarthy period. There were some pretty ugly scenes in the United States Senate and in the House of Representatives that I think reflected very serious divisions in the American public.
Ross Baker is a professor of political science at Rutgers University. Professor Baker, thanks as always.
Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.